Thank you all.
Thank you to our lovely tech team as well, who make it possible for us to hear the wonderful things that go on over there. Well, in a moment, I'm going to invite Sarah to come and introduce the first of our priorities for next year. But let me tell you a little bit of background to this evening first. Recently, there was an away day between the elders and the staff team. We work together in different ways with our different giftings, our different time and skills, and we had a day together as a leadership team. We didn't go away, we stayed here, because we like it here and it's cheaper. But we had a really good day. You know when you're somewhere that feels safe and good and you can relax? We had time all together, time separately in pairs on our own. And we try and have a day like that at least once a year or so, alongside our usual patterns of prayer and reflection in different ways, and to seek God together for his direction for this church that we love, and we believe he's called us to love the community around it too. We worship together, we reflected on what God's been doing. Louise invited everyone to start the day by writing their own psalm, and you'll see one of those on the back of the little prayer card you should have been given on the way in this evening. We started the day in prayer and worship, and then our first task was to revisit our church vision. And very quickly, there was that strong sense that this vision stands, this vision is right for us for this time. Our vision's to grow a relevant, Christ-like church that serves this community. And I hope you'll agree that we've not finished that yet. God is moving and stirring that vision in us still. So then we began to try and discern, well, what are we to do next then? We've accomplished a lot since we set that vision. The whole church in different ways have all contributed to that. We were saying, what are you saying to us now, God? We were looking, what's God done recently? What foundations has he established? There was plenty of time of prayer together and apart. And as the elders in particular joined back together, several came with the same words and pictures. And there was something about the theme of unity that seemed really significant and chimed so much with our common sense as well, that if we're at a time of church growth, of course we want to be drawing together. We're stronger when we're together, felt really key. We're all different people, but together we're stronger. And that image of a rope with strands joining together to make the whole rope stronger really stuck. And we were reminded of the scripture, Ecclesiastes 4:12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Well, increasingly we thought God was leading us to a cord of four strands. So we're well looked after. We spent lots of time asking God and discerning what our focus should be next year in 2024. And the elders felt a leading towards four particular themes, four areas of action, four priorities under that vision to grow a relevant Christ-like church that serves this community. Those four were resources, outreach, prayer, and expectation. And if you're very clever, you'll notice that they spell out rope. Didn't take all day to come up with that. Definitely not. Well, tonight, we're going to hear briefly about each of these areas, and we're going to have time to pray about them later. And of course, you'll be hearing more in the future. Today is just the taster. It's just the start. And we've got all of 2024 to work our way through these and to enact them. The elders this evening are just going to introduce them. But I can assure you there'll be the action planning, the conversations, the time to ask questions will all be coming. The time to talk to our key leadership teams as well, who help with the actioning of all these ideas. So without further ado, can I introduce Sarah, who's going to talk to us about resources, and then Louise is coming about outreach, Colin about prayer, and Rob about expectation.
Thanks, Cass. Apparently, I've got to switch it on. Evening, everyone. So I've got the first one, which is resources, and I've got to stop looking up there like I do at work and look over there so I can see it properly. Okay, Thanks, Gordon. The next. Marvellous. Okay. So we have two priorities with resources. That's finances and volunteers. And the focus with our finances is to develop a strategy of teaching, to improve awareness of the financial picture of the church, to encourage increased giving in 2024. As members, we've got a collective responsibility to understand the financial position of the church. Jimmy clearly lays out all the headlines in his quarterly reports. The operations of this church are high and prices are increasing, even though we're trying everything to keep the prices down and make efficiencies. The more we do, the more it costs. We're extremely fortunate to be able to employ staff team. And that as a church, our membership is growing. Fully understanding what these figures, though, are is really, really important. As a new elder, and therefore trustee, I've increased responsibility in this area, and I've been trying to get my head around these numbers. As I said in the church meeting, until recently, I hadn't realised that we pay £375 per person per year to the National URC, and that price is going to be increasing next year. God provides, yes, but we need to recognise our responsibility here too. And here's why. I love a chart. So, simply put, if you're no good at maths at all, the green bit shows the money in. The blue bit shows the money out, and the yellow is the growing deficit. So as you can see, our giving and income isn't back to what it was in pre-COVID times. And the yellow line is currently going in the wrong direction. And if you want to see the exact numbers that come with it, it's on our finance prayer station over there. So the next part of our financial priority, therefore, is to encourage more giving. When we think of the widow's offering in Luke 21, she offered all that she had to God. Now, we know everyone has different means and circumstances, and this certainly isn't to guilt people. But it's an opportunity to prayerfully consider, are we giving all that we can? It's our own personal responsibility, and we should carefully consider what we give. We shouldn't feel forced or feel we're giving begrudgingly. After all, we're giving for His glory and to grow His church. But some simple changes to pray about would see an impact, and actually that we may not even have to wait till 2024 to actually start. And I'm challenging myself here too. So, have you reconsidered your direct debit recently? If you haven't changed it for the last 10 years and your wages have increased, then possibly it might be something you could do. Do you gift aid your offerings? 25% extra could be added for this. If you use the card machine at the back, that's really convenient, but it's a little bit more faffed for us to try and figure out the gift aid. But if you're going to give regularly, maybe you should consider the actual direct debit side of things. Finally, if you don't already give, maybe it's time to start giving. The second resource is volunteers. We want to continue to ensure we have sufficient volunteers to meet the needs of our current and future church groups, to support them and to ensure the right person is in the right role. We are the body of Christ, and each of us is a part of it. We have a clear volunteer strategy up there at the back, and those for those who serve, and a priority to keep everybody safe. But some roles are still requiring more support, some individual, some as part of a team. Serving in roles can be seasonal, and if you've served in a role for a while, you may feel it's time for a change. Is God telling you, therefore, to consider if you're still the right fit? Could you start serving in another role? Would you be a right fit there? It's important that your gifts are used in the right area and you're happy as you serve God's people in church and in our community. So to summarise, our church is growing, which is brilliant, but what is the picture going to look like in 3 to 5 years if we don't act in this particular priority area? If we don't have enough money to keep our staff, and if there aren't enough volunteers for us to keep the activities going? That's a bit hard, isn't it? But a few years, if things stay the same, we may have to make some difficult decisions. Reduce finances and volunteers means we have to reduce activities. And when the church is moving in such a positive direction, that would be a real shame. We've seen as a church how God has provided when we stepped out in faith for Emma's role. We and our resources are part of God's provision, and we should use them to fulfill God's purpose for us and therefore give glory to him. And now I'm going to hand over to Louise.
I was expecting a microphone, a handheld one. It's not here. Okay, that's okay. I will speak into this one. Good evening. Thank you, Sarah. Now, it probably won't come as a surprise that our second priority is outreach. Our shorter strapline, along with our vision strapline, is connecting our community to Christ. That's one of our reasons for being. Not existing for us, but existing for those who are not here yet. Before that, our vision statement as a congregation was introducing people to Jesus. I don't know if some of you will remember that. And that always makes me think of Jesus, meet people. People, meet Jesus. Become friends. All is well. But the idea behind both of those things is exactly the same, that we want people, we want our friends, we want our family, our work colleagues, our neighbours, our community to meet with Jesus and be transformed through faith in him. Because we believe that when God gets his hands on us, healing happens, marriages get restored, hope reignites, lives get turned around, and futures are reformed. It is good news. And so, of course, we want to share it. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear these famous words from the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you, always to the very end of the age. That's our reason for being. The task of us as disciples is to make disciples. And if we aren't making disciples, are we being disciples? We've been blessed recently with new church members coming through our doors, bringing their gifts to serve in this part of God's kingdom. And we believe that God has done that for a reason. Some of our newest church members are mature, established Christians, for which we're really grateful. And we feel that God is sending workers to help in the harvest. And that's great. But we don't want to be a church that just attracts Christians. Our outreach overall goal is that we will be so equipped and encouraged to share our faith and be actively invitational in everything we do, that there will be fruit, that there will be new people attending church and people giving their lives to Christ for the first time. We are not ashamed of being explicit in that goal. We believe that God is calling us to make new disciples, new Christians, new believers. It's evangelism. We've been talking a lot about that. The synod theme for the year has been talking faith. We've been talking a lot about that in our morning services. And people go, oh, she's still talking about evangelism. Will she ever stop? No. We can't ever stop talking about it because it's really important. But I know that this is people's natural reaction sometimes. Please don't make me talk to other people about my faith. I know it's not a natural gifting of everybody. And we do come up with excuses like, I don't have the gift of evangelism, or it's not my thing, it doesn't work for me. And we can come up with all the excuses in the world, but it doesn't actually help. I was really struck by this quote from Oswald J. Smith. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. Ooh. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. That's quite hard hitting, isn't it? But it's actually true. We might not be the most natural evangelists, although we've got a couple of natural evangelists here this evening, but we can always improve. We can always become more comfortable in telling people about Jesus. We can become more effective enough to see God do some amazing things in the lives of our unsaved friends. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be equipped for ministry. Paul says this in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And the idea is that, you know, you need to work at stuff. The result is to be being prepared for something so it functions properly and is effective and productive. So that points to the three words we have under the outreach banner, which is equip, share, and invite. In this next year, we're going to hopefully equip one another with training, with teaching, in our fellowship groups perhaps, in whatever ways we can think of, to become more courageous and more confident in sharing our faith. We're going to be encouraging you to step out in faith and to share your faith, your hope, to share Jesus in this community, to keep on doing that in ways that make sense to you, even if that means you're stepping out of your comfort zone. And we're going to be encouraging you to invite and invite and invite. I often think this church thinks they're really good at invitation. I'm not always sure if we are as good as we could be. We could be better. To say things like, I'm going, it's going to be good, why don't you come with me? On my sabbatical a couple of years ago, I spent some time talking to churches who do evangelism at Christmas really well. And I went to visit a large Elim church in the West Midlands and spoke to one of the leaders there who emphasised that the biggest opportunity they have is in the power of invitation from Christians in the congregation who are invested in the relationship they have with their non-Christian friends, who are praying for them and who are inviting them. And this church tries to create an invitational culture in everything that they do, so church people feel confident to invite people to church. And he uses the biblical story of Zacchaeus as an illustration. In the story, Zacchaeus is too short to see Jesus, so he climbs a tree. The tree helps Zacchaeus see Jesus. So the events that we put on are the tree that help people get a better view of Jesus. Like comedy nights, like our theatre group, like Alpha. And this church leader I spoke to says that the church creates the tree where people get to see Jesus and hear the gospel, but it's the church member's job to get people to the tree, if that makes sense. And we're aiming to create a culture of invitation, not just to events, but to everything. Come with me to church on a Sunday. It's not a special occasion. Come to church. It's going to be good. We get you to the tree. So our outreach goal in 2024 is that every one of us will be equipped to share Jesus. We'll be inviting people into a relationship with him, and new people will be attending church and committing their lives to Christ. Passing on to Colin, who is talking about prayer.
Prayer. Well, it's the sort of thing you'd expect us to be saying, isn't it? We need to pray. But what we're talking about here is prayer within the context of worship, mostly. And our vision for this coming year is that we re-establish things that we've been doing in the past and perhaps haven't been doing so much of recently. So in the past, we've had in the evening service prayer ministry, and that involved having a prayer ministry team. We're not quite going back to that. What we're talking about here is having a team that is a sort of prayer-enabling team, folks that will help us to pray for one another. Because really, you know, everybody here is capable of praying for everybody else here. There are no rules, are there, as to who can pray for who. So the idea is that we have these prayer enablers who will help this to happen. I think probably it's easier if I give a little bit of an example. So here I am. I'm sitting in the congregation, and I know very well that I need to be prayed for. I turn to the person next to me and say, I really would like to have some prayer for these issues. And together, we might go to the prayer enabler and say, it'd be great if there could be a third person that joined us, and they might pass us on to another member, or they might just pray for us themselves. And so now there are three people, me, who is to be prayed for, and two others. And that's the idea, that we all become good at praying for one another. And it's very scriptural, isn't it? Because we hear in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. That's what Jesus said. And that's what we want. We want him to be with us. Who do we want to really pray for us? Well, we want Jesus to pray for us. So together with the prayer enabler, we get together and we pray for one another. We're talking about something slightly different in the morning. A very long time ago in the dim and distant past, when there was a very stuffy church with lots of pews and a strange place. We still prayed for people. Yes, we did. Amazing. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. And the way we did that was very formal. Of course, everything was pretty formal. We even stood up when the minister walked into the church. I knew she'd say that. But what we're thinking we'll do is we'll do something like that. It'll probably evolve over the first few times we do it. But in the morning service, we're going to put some chairs out at the front. We're going to have a special service where we invite people to come forward. But the idea is that we will just pray a very standard sort of prayer for them, straight out of the wonderful Word of God. Numbers 6, 24 to 26 has a brilliant prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. That's what we all need, isn't it? We need peace. I need peace, that's for sure. And actually, you know, prayer has got to be a fundamental part of our lives, however that works out. And I've been learning completely new ways of being at prayer recently. A lovely person that I'm very close to, but who's very disabled, fell last night at probably 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. She sensibly has a little buzzer that she presses, and it didn't work. So for the next half hour, she slowly worked her way across the floor of her flat to reach the place where she knew she could plug in what had become unplugged to reach the care team to come and get her off the floor because she knew she couldn't get up herself. It made me think, that's a bit like us when we are not praying. We're struggling across the floor trying to get to that point. As it happens, she has an Alexa in her house. She could have just said, Alexa, call the care team. And that's what we're being called to do, isn't it? To cry out to God rather than crawling across the floor. So let us pray for one another. Let's not be restrained by any feeling that we're not good enough. That's not what it's about. Nobody's good enough. Let's pray for one another. I call upon Rob, who is going to follow that. But let's be a church of prayer and praying for one another in 2024.
Let's also be a church of expectation. My topic. So let's see. Yes, here we go. Expectation. And hopefully I can get my Kindle to. Thank you. Trying to read side on wasn't going to be that helpful. Yeah, I think any of us who've been around here for the last few years, particularly post-COVID, will start to. I think you'd have to have your eyes in blinkers, not to feel as though God has been on the move in this place. That, you know, as Louise mentioned, we've had a real growth of new members, mature Christians, mostly mature Christians, with real gifting, with specific gifting as well. You know, it's not just biblical knowledge, but real gifting. We've got like Wilf, great man who's health and safety expert, and revolutionized our health and safety. And we've got Sarah, who I know is a long-standing member, but you know, all the stuff that she does with keeping us safe and safeguarding. And so we've got a great body of people and God's given us. And we've also got three new elders and now a worship development coordinator, who I also happen to be related to. But yeah, mention all the family here, you know. So we've got this new. So you can see that God is up to something. And during the elders away there, I had this sort of bit of a vision, if you like, of a picture of God is building a new building, extending his building, and he's sending all these bricks and cornerstones, etc. And if you start to see them laid out, you get an idea of the picture of the building that he's aiming us to build. You can start to see the architect's plan. And I explained it like this, and I think only Louise got the joke this morning. So try, but I mean, when Sir Christopher Wren was designing St. Paul's Cathedral, there wasn't somebody who came along and said, what do you expect me to do with this duck pond? It wasn't part of the vision, so it wasn't there. I'm glad nobody else got it today as well. But it wasn't part of what was is required. So if you start to take in what is all here and what's coming, you know, we can start to see what God's doing, but only start to see. And this is where it comes on to spiritual gifting. And that's about helping us to see over the horizon. And as we start to develop our spiritual gifts, Paul, you know, was adamant about this. He says, so in Corinthians 4:12, he says, so it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel, not the spreadsheet, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Build up the church. And he's talking about spiritual gifts that really build up the church. So, and, you know, in Corinthians 12, he mentions those gifts. So, yeah. So, what I'm saying to you, are you pregnant? Are you wanting to develop those spiritual gifts? I know, some gasps there, but are you pregnant with spiritual gifts that you don't necessarily know that you've got, and that you want to see God give birth to in you? You know, and it's not just that people think about prophecy and healing ministries, but there's also things like wisdom and knowledge, words of faith, and people stepping out in faith. These all build up the church. And even speaking in tongues, you know, sometimes you can get a prophecy through a spiritual tongue that somebody comes and then it's translated. Can you imagine if there was a clear indication about which way we should go in a specific area, where somebody came with a tongue and then there was an interpretation? What would that do to our collective faith? So I want to say, you know, God wants to is directing it. Am I on the right slide? Yes, I am. Good. So, you know, yeah, all that Louise was saying about, you know, people being healed and people being set free and coming to know Jesus as Savior often happens when the spiritual gifts are released. Hence, Paul's emphasis on how important they are. Latterly, if I can get my own, yep, safety first. Hello? Ah, there you go. Safety first, putting on our full armor of God, both as individuals but also as a church. Ensuring that all times the body is protected by good leadership and clear channels of authority. So that when, say, a word of prophecy, a vision, a picture comes into, is shared, it first goes through the elders so that we know it's handled properly. This is really important, so that there isn't a sort of a wild tract going off everywhere. And we need a church that is really united. Again, the emphasis on unity, because, you know, we need to be looking, caring for each other, looking out for each other, and playing our part to live in peace with one another. You know, be peacemakers, not necessarily peacekeepers, but be peacemakers with one another. And we need to pray into our church vision and these priorities and protection for the wisdom for elders and leaders. And latterly, you know, we want to build this church, you know, build the skills within this church, you know, to grow the vine, if you like, within the church, rather than have people come in and just deliver for us. You know, there's a real danger there. In the past, you know, of potentially having people just, you know, spiritually come in, drop something on us, and go away again. We want to birth the gifting within the church so that people are secure. And for that, we recognize that we do need some training. So that will also be provided. So that's where we've got the expectation. I want to encourage everybody to be expectant. And to examine yourself and say, actually, what is my gifting? Because you do, if you are saved, you have a spiritual gift. You know, it could be knowledge, it could be wisdom, it could be stepping out in faith. But you have a spiritual gift that God wants to bring out and to use. Amen.
Oh, he's coming back. He's expectant. wonderful. Thank you all. And thanks to the elders as well, who weren't the ones to come up and speak, but have contributed to that and to the prayer stations we're going to move to now. I hope you're sharing some of the excitement for how God's on the move, and God invites us to be a part of that. God delights in us being a part of that. So we're going to move to a time for